Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to lay his hand upon him. And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. It is written, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. It is written, and he entered into a house, and would have no man know it, and he could not be hid. It is written, this he said, making all meats clean. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands? And he said unto them, Well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men. I had walked life's path with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasure had led, until one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. The station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body and none for my soul. I had entered to win in life's big race when I met the Master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. I faltered and fell at his feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place, naught else I did see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, O make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet. My thought is now for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. Ere since, one day in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face.
It's just a prayer
away. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Mark chapter 7, what would Jesus do? Mark chapter 7 gives us the right approach to the popular saying, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Mark 7 tells us what Jesus won't do. Then it tells us what Jesus could not do. And then tells us what Jesus could do. WWJD, first look at what Jesus won't do. Jesus told the Pharisees and scribes, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching as your doctrines the commandments of men." The Lord Jesus can guide us in life by what he will do, and he also guides us by what he won't do. He is very emphatic in this chapter about something he will not do. He will not accept man-made doctrines in place of the Word of God. This is what he won't do. The Pharisees and scribes had come from Jerusalem and asked why the disciples did not wash their hands when they ate bread. This was one of their religious rules that they had made up and obeyed to the letter, and then disobeyed the commands of God. Jesus wants soul worship, and they gave him body worship. He wanted their hearts, and they gave him their lips. He wanted the thoughts of their minds, and they gave him banners, the lighting of candles, skits, entertainment, and buildings. He wants our Lord's days, and they gave him Saturday nights and called it Sunday morning. There are several illustrations in the New Testament where doctrines of men were placed above doctrines of God. In 1 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy in the 4th chapter that the Spirit speaketh expressly about the latter times when men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Before I read to you what Paul said, it might be well to remind you of the futility of speaking these things to some people. Paul says they speak lies, and not only do they speak lies, but indicates also that their conscience has been cauterized, seared, branded as with a hot iron. They will never see the truth, but we still need to be reminded of the warnings given us in Scripture. Two of the doctrines of demons mentioned are the commands not to marry and abstaining from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Regarding marriage, Jesus said there are men who are eunuchs from their mother's womb. Some who have been made eunuchs by men, and some who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Whether a person marries or not is a matter of choice. According to Paul, however, when churches legislate on the matter, it becomes a doctrine of demons. Subsequent history has proven this to be true many times. Remember, Jesus said, "In vain do ye worship me, teaching as your doctrines the commandments of men." And then regarding the eating of meats, Mark reminds us that Jesus made all meats clean, and Paul says meats were created to be received with thanksgiving. Our menu is a matter of personal choice, but to command to abstain from meats is another doctrine of demons. It looks like Paul was making reference to the menu during something called the Lenten season. What shall we give up for Lent? Paul tells us what to give up, not only for 40 days, but for 365 days. He says give up evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, railings, pride, foolishness. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the things that defile the man. But to eat a steak on Good Friday defileth not the man. In vain do ye worship me, teaching as your doctrines the commandments of men. The apostles came to Jesus and said, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Jesus did not apologize for what he taught, but warned the disciples, Let them alone. Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. A preacher one time called and asked for advice on starting a radio program in a very large city. He said he had a problem. He said, I believe you need to repent and be immersed for the remission of sins. However, the preacher who precedes me on another program does not believe my way. My problem is, how can I preach the gospel without offending my brother? Fear of offending others is one of the devil's best weapons in the faithful proclamation of the word. The gospel of Christ is judgmental. We cannot afford to be concerned if people are offended by the truth. The advice Jesus gave to his apostles and modern-day preachers as well is, Let them alone. Every plant which my Father planted not shall be rooted up. I received a very fine letter one time from a preacher who had words of commendation for this ministry. But in his letter he said he followed the traditions of Rome, Geneva, and Scotland. I tactfully replied that the difference between us was while he followed the traditions of Rome, Geneva, and Scotland, I followed the traditions of the apostles of Jesus at Jerusalem. Listen again to the words of the Master. In vain do you worship me, teaching as your doctrines the commandments of men. This is something that Jesus would not do. Now here's something else Jesus cannot do. He could not be hid. When Jesus came to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he went into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Jesus was now in Gentile country, and even though in his earthly ministry his message was for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, there is a hint even here of a wider proclamation of his message for a later time. This Gentile woman's request for her daughter, vexed with a demon, indicates the news of his mighty works was well known, because, you see, he could not be hid. Jesus does not go very far in the Tyre and Sidon, however. He came only to the borders. In a similar way, most of us cannot go into many places where we would need to go to preach the gospel. This radio ministry does not take the place of those that have gone with and spent their whole lives in foreign places to preach. But it is something that we can do. At least we can reach out and touch the borders of our Tyre and Sidon. Others, too, can reach out and touch the borders of their Tyre and Sidon by helping to send others to go to their place of service. Her request for help at first was ignored. According to Matthew, the woman said, Lord, help me. This is a handy prayer we can all use. Lord, help me. I use this handy prayer in the preparation of sermons for this broadcast. Lord, help me. It is a handy prayer to pray in time of sickness. Lord, help me. It is a handy prayer to pray when you are tired and can't say much of anything else. Lord, help me. It is a good prayer to pray when you awaken at night and are concerned as to how you can pay the bills. Lord, help me. When there doesn't seem to be any way out of the problems of your life, you can always pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to go to the borders of my Tyre and Sidon. The apostles told Jesus to send her away. She crieth after us. Ladies and gentlemen, she was not crying after them. She was crying after Jesus. She had a real daughter at home, vexed with a real devil, and she knew that Jesus was a real Savior. She was crying after him, not them. We can learn from her example. When you need divine assistance, do not cry after any of the departed saints, whether it be St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Jude, St. Anthony, or even Mary, the mother of Jesus. Save your breath and cry after the Lord. He is the one and only mediator between man and God, himself man, Christ Jesus. Then the Lord told her it was not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, "Truth, Lord, truth. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." This may seem like a harsh thing to say to her. He reminded her that the Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs. Actually, the scripture refers to the alien sinner in much worse term than dogs. Listen to what the inspired apostle says about the Gentile and Jew who live without the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus. "There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is the way God sees the human rascal. A human being is like an iceberg. What is seen may look bright and shiny and beautiful, but 9/10 of it is underwater, dark and dangerous. And the very first step toward forgiveness and acceptance with God is to say what this Greek woman, a Syrophoenician by race, a Gentile dog, said, "Truth, Lord." When the Lord tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags, say, "Truth, Lord." We have found out on this broadcast that people in all cultures and forms of government have heard of Jesus and want to know more about him because he cannot be hid. Tell us more about Jesus. Send us Bibles is the request of hundreds, even in places where persecution and death may result. We cannot imagine, for example, Adolf Hitler as president of the United States. The English cannot imagine George Washington as King of England. Who could imagine Napoleon as governor of California? But all nations, cultures, races, and ethnic groups can imagine Jesus and see Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw a cartoon years ago in a historical magazine or book depicting the various battles of the World Wars, and one particular picture showed a German U-boat sinking in the Atlantic Ocean. A lifeboat with survivors of German sailors was shown, and a shadowy figure in the prow of the boat representing Christ was seen. And the Lord was saying to those German sailors, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a shock that was to me when I saw it. I always thought that Jesus was on our side during that war. The need of Jesus, however, transcends all people everywhere in the face of eternity. He could not be hid. He could not be hidden even on the cross. They tried to hide his deity when he was numbered with the transgressors. But the leaders of that crucifixion detail recognized Jesus for who he really was when he said it for us all. Truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus could not be hid. Jesus could not be hid as we read the storyline of the Old Testament. He stands out in bold relief in the Garden of Eden with the proclamation of the Heavenly Father, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise his heel." Adam, Eve, and the devil saw the promise of Jesus after they sinned. He could not be hid. Again, we see him in the wilderness when God provided manna from heaven to feed Israel. Jesus later said, "I am the living bread, which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my life, my flesh for the life of the world." This statement provides overtones for the Lord's Supper on the Lord's day of the week. When multiplied millions see Jesus lifted up on the cross in the observance of the Lord's Supper, Jesus appears again and again in the storyline of the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, he cannot be hid. WWJD. What would Jesus do? We have noticed what he won't do and also what he cannot do. Now a word about what he can do. Jesus went out from Tyre and Sidon and came through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. They brought to him a man who was deaf and had that impediment in his speech. They beseeched him to lay his hands on him. Jesus took him aside from the multitude privately and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. Before we notice the miracle, it is well to consider that Jesus looked up into heaven first. The Lord, by this action, looking up into heaven, is leading and teaching us today. Anytime we want to do something special for the Lord, whether it be preparing a message, preaching a revival meeting, or making a trip on behalf of the kingdom, always look up to heaven first. I knew one preacher who was very successful in winning souls to the Lord as he made hospital calls on the sick. I marveled at the way he did it. I asked him what was his secret. He said, "It is always easier to talk to people lying flat on their back in a hospital because the only way they can look is straight up." Most people in times of great stress, whether it is sickness, loss of a job, or any other concern they cannot handle alone, will look up to heaven. It just seems like it's the natural thing to do. I have had hundreds of funerals for people who have had no use for the Lord and His church, who when they died did not look to the bartender or the drug pusher. They wanted something done or said about heaven. I was amazed at one funeral I had of a man who had told me that sports was the answer to the troubles of the world. I was sure that when he died, they would put his casket on the 50-yard line and have the coach to preach his funeral. Instead, they called on me. When the chips are down in life, looking up to heaven is the only direction that really makes any sense. Actually, when Jesus looked up to heaven, the deaf man got the message. This cure is coming from above. And not only that, but what a powerful reminder all the rest of his days to always look up to heaven for all of the trials of life. And so Jesus put his fingers in his ears. He put his fingers in his ears because that is where his problem lay. Jesus always knows where to put his finger on our problems. He sighed and saith unto him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Ladies and gentlemen, that is what Jesus can do. He can do all things well. Truly, Jesus doeth all things well, even in the use of his finger. His finger is mightier than all the weapons that men have ever devised. It was with his finger that he wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, "The Lord delivered unto me two tablets of stone written by the finger of God." Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but we do know what Jeremiah said. He writes our sins on our hearts with an iron pen and with the point of a diamond. Luke tells us that Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God. The magicians in the court of Pharaoh could not duplicate the plague of lice and explain to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." The finger of God is stronger than the devil. He doeth all things well. The greatest proof that he did all things well is the statement of the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews when he states that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. The bottom line of that statement is, everything he ever said, did, or thought in the days when he sojourned on earth in the tabernacle of flesh was done well. Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, he won't accept the doctrines of men in place of his own. What would Jesus do? He cannot be hid. What would Jesus do? He doeth all things well. WWJD. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.